What's up, fans? Welcome to episode 38 of the 11.7 podcast brought to you by College Baseball Hub. We have a fun show planned for you, and it is Monday, not Sunday. So a lot of excitement, ready to go. What's up, fans? Welcome to the first ever day game that we're going to play. Usually we do our podcast Sunday night, and today we're actually doing it Monday morning because James had a little vacation day planned yesterday. So it is a day game. Just picture us.
A little show and go.
Yeah, just picture us at, on the bleachers of Wrigley Field right now. Not under the lights, under the natural sun, I guess people would say. but yeah, we have a fun show planned for you. We are about to post all of our brand new top 25 to social media. So you guys check it out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, all of that. And, so yeah, we're going to start the show with our new top 25 that we actually discussed last night, and we waited until this morning to post it. We're also going to review our horrendous top 10 weekend series challenge where James and I both went well below 500. It would have been a great week for me to gain some ground in the standings.
But I know, dude. You had it.
I was just as bad as you were.
I handed it to you. I thought for a minute there, I thought we were going to both go 0-5, and we were going to discontinue the fan challenge. At least we weren't going to pick anymore.
We were just going to ignore it. Yeah. and then we're also going to have some key takeaways from this weekend because there was a lot of fun action, especially in the big conferences: SEC, ACC, Pac-12, Big 12. Big Ten, all of those conferences had some great matchups this past weekend. And then we're going to review some of the conference standings that we see that are very competitive towards the last 2 weeks of the regular season, moving on into conference tournament play. And then we will review some midweek action for this upcoming week, some games that you guys can keynote for Tuesday and Wednesday. So,
running James, out of time, dude.
Before we start the show, just give the fans a little post game of what happened yesterday. Why were you missing?
I had a Cinco de Mayo celebration that I couldn't get out of. And, you know, I'm part Hispanic, you know, so it's kind of just mandatory.
It's mandatory. Yeah.
I had a little bit of tequila yesterday. Uh-oh. And
maybe we should have done the show then.
Yeah, maybe we should have. But I also, you know, while I was out, I was actually watching college baseball. I'm not going to lie. I was watching.
Of course you were.
Florida and Georgia were on TV. I was watching Texas State play a little bit on television as well. So while I was away, I was not away. You know, right. You can take the boy out of baseball, I guess, is the saying, but can't.
Well, it only took 38 episodes for us to do our first day game. And what is it, like 80% of Major League Baseball games are night games, and 20 of them were day games. Maybe we should start doing some more day games. I like this. I feel a little bit more awake. I feel my mind is at ease instead of stressing over, trying to pack a show in at 1 a.m. Like, I got to sleep in a little bit today. I got to plan the show quite a bit. So, I don't know. Maybe we'll start doing some day games. That's what we're going to do. But anyways, let's release our top 25. We have not released it yet to the public, so you guys are going to be the first ones to hear it.
That's right.
We're going to start with number one this week because 20 through 25 kind of got shaken up, but 1 through 11 kind of stayed similar. So we're gonna save all the drama until the end. So starting at number one, UCLA stays there. UCLA, they take 2 out of 3 from Arizona State. They should have swept. But some people would argue that they should have lost 2 out of 3 because there was a close game Friday night. But right now, the Bruins look like the best team in the nation, which they have been since pretty much the second or third week of the season. So UCLA, number one. Vanderbilt has been dominating the SEC right now. They have just absolutely embarrassed South Carolina as a program. South Carolina was one game away from Omaha last year, and now I think they're sitting at like 5-14 in the SEC standings. Not good.
It happens fast. It happens fast in that conference.
Yep, it sure does. Arkansas moves up to number 3. They took care of business this weekend. Another team that I think that could win it all. I really do.
Hold on a second. Can we talk about the we somehow came across some Vegas odds on likely to win the College World Series. Arkansas was 20-1.
20-1?
Oregon State was 6-1. What is up with that?
Dude, you give me 20-1 odds on Arkansas winning it all after they were like one pitch away last year multiple times from winning the whole thing. Like, you give me 20-1 odds with the Hogs. Obviously, the Ben Upton jinx is something to take into account, and we'll get into more of that later.
Vegas definitely factors that in.
Yeah, but with the talent Arkansas has, with the resume they have, if you put $50 on that, you walk away with $1,000.
Dude, really?
Yeah.
I might actually throw a couple $100 on that.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and it would be something fun to root for.
Yeah, with Oregon State being 6-1, honestly, both those teams could be like 12-1, you know, something like that. But 20-1 on Arkansas really jumped off the page. And if you fans would like to see some of it, we tweeted it out. You might have to dig through our retweets and all that, but it's there. So,
Another interesting one I saw on that little slip, Nevada, 1,000-1.
Yeah, I guess
1,000-1.
I guess Las Vegas was obligated to put them on.
I think so. That's what I was thinking of. But I mean, you throw $1 down, you win $1,000 if they win it all. Obviously, not likely they wouldn't even get in the tournament. But we've seen teams like Fresno State win it all, Coastal Carolina win it all. It is possible for a.
Do you think we can just run down the list of the teams that they have on here for fun?
Yeah, shoot, let's do it. Do you have it pulled up? Because I don't.
I do. So. Okay. Now, this is a picture. The teams are in alphabetical order, and only half the picture is available. So you're going to hear teams like A through G, and then we're going to skip all the way to the ends. So you've got Arizona. They're 200-1.
Arizona just swept Oregon. They're getting hot.
But dude, totally slapping me in the face on my pick.
Yeah.
Arizona State, 20-1.
I still like that, too. I mean, I know they've been playing bad, but Arizona State, definitely talented enough to win it all.
Yeah, and then you've got Arkansas at 20-1.
That is unbelievable how Arkansas and Arizona State have the same odds to win it.
Dude, we've got to get a hold of this list, and this is from Caesars Entertainment. It's from Caesars Entertainment.
Caesars Palace.
Auburn 30-1, Baylor 40-1.
I like Baylor 40-1.
That's pretty good.
That's really good.
Yeah, dude, we might have to, you know. Scoundrel up some money together.
Yeah, you put $50 down, that's $2,000.
Yeah, dude, that's not bad at all. Clemson 40-1.
Oh, you skipped over one. Cal State Fullerton 300-1.
I'm not gonna list that one. But yeah, Cal State Fullerton 300-1. Coastal 60-1. UConn 100-1. Dallas Baptist 200-1. That's exciting.
I would put some money on that. Dude, think about it. Every dollar you put down, it's 200 back if they win it. So you put $5 down, that's $1,000. Why not?
I would throw $25 on him.
Yeah. I mean, I would. That's like a dinner with you and your girlfriend. Like, just, hey, we're not going to eat out once this week. Like, I'm trying to win a couple, like $10,000.
That's really not bad at all. East Carolina, 40-1. Duke.
I like that.
Duke's 200-1. That's too low. They should be like 125, 150.
Yeah.
Florida 30-1. How can Florida and Arkansas be 10 spots apart at 20-1 and 30-1?
I don't understand how Florida has better odds than Baylor.
Yeah, that's just name recognition. That's just Georgia. Here's an exciting one. Georgia is 12-1 odds. That's the second highest I see on here compared to Oregon State at 6-1. Ben, you want to take some of the rest?
Yeah, so NC State 25-1, Nevada 1,000-1. Nebraska 50-1, North Carolina 30-1.
How is North Carolina as high as Florida? That's wild.
Yeah. Ohio State, sorry, you guys are sitting at 500-1. Oklahoma 60-1. We've seen Oklahoma beat some good teams this year. And then how about Oklahoma State at 50-1, who just swept Oregon State? Mm-hmm. I like those. I mean, like, obviously, probably not going to happen, but 50-1 odds—that's hard to find. Ole Miss 30-1. They should be exempt from this. No, well, they should. We're not going to recognize that one. Oregon 200-1, Oregon State 6-1, which is just that's ridiculous.
Stupid.
I want to see what like UCLA and like Vanderbilt are. I wish it didn't go.
Dude,
I wish it didn't get cut off.
We're gonna get a hold of this list.
Rice at 500-1, Sam Houston State 200-1, San Diego State 300-1, South Carolina 100-1, Southern Miss 100-1, St. John's 500-1. That's all we have on this list, but we're gonna find this list and we're gonna expose it. I'm gonna try to find a way to put probably $5 on Dallas Baptist, maybe 10 to 200-1. Like they're gonna be sitting pretty with a 2 seed somewhere, maybe in the Baylor regional. Baylor's another team at 40-1. Arkansas is 20-1. I mean, these odds are just too good, man. Like I know anything can happen, and we're still far from Omaha, but like,
dude, I mean, if you think about it, if you get to put money on Arkansas. Let's say Arkansas, UCLA, and then a couple of dark horses, like a Dallas Baptist, an Oklahoma State. I mean, pick 5 or 6 teams, pick a couple favorites.
Yeah.
Throw a total of $100 in. I mean,
you know who wasn't on that list?
Who?
Was Miami on that list?
ULM. We just missed it.
Oh, okay. I thought we did the M's for some reason. I was like, Miami is like kind of a sleeper team in my opinion. That is at 101.
Judging by how they're ranking things, where do you think Miami would be?
Probably like 100, maybe. Ooh. 80.
I bet you, I was going to say like 45-ish.
Nah, I think they'll be lower than that. I don't think anybody recognizes how good Miami is this year.
Okay, well, here, let's do one more.
So like the whole point of Vegas, and this is another reason why I think they're going to be 100-1. It's not based off of like who's the best teams. It's based off of like, especially with college baseball, you want to sucker in people with good fan bases to put money on that team when Vegas knows they're probably not going to win. So like Miami has a huge college baseball fan base, right? And if Miami fans see in Vegas that they're 100-1, they'd be like, shoot, let's put some money on it. And then, like, that's where Vegas gets their capital and their revenue to pay off the teams that actually win. So, like, that probably explains why some of those schools, like Florida, are 30-1. People are like, oh, man, that's good odds. Like, let's take it.
So, basically, what you're saying is that they're trying to lay odds to where they get action.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because if Florida was like, I mean, not Florida, but if, like, Vanderbilt was like 5-1, Arkansas was like 10-1. Their fans are probably like, I don't know, like that's not really worth it. But if they see like 20 or 40-1, they're like, okay, like let's do it. Let's see if we can get some action.
Yeah. So a bad one would be the Oregon State at 6-1 because probably not a big fan base. And then
they won it last year too, so
yeah,
they probably have that into account. So yeah, they probably don't want people really betting on Oregon State right now. You know, so I don't know, but. That's interesting. We should fly out to Vegas and throw a couple bucks down. See if we can win $1,000.
Doll hairs.
See if we can pay for our flights.
Damn, we kind of got sidetracked from our top 25.
Yeah. Sorry about that, fans. We do have our top 25 ready. So we have UCLA, Vandy, Arkansas that we talked about. Coming at 4 is Stanford. 5, Mississippi State moves up. They had a great weekend against Texas A&M. Texas A&M just can't hit. Like that Mississippi State's pitching staff just bullied A&M. Dude,
I watched like that series almost in its entirety, and A&M had like I think they said 5 total hits, and it was like the last inning of like the last
doubleheader. Yeah.
It was just God.
A&M, the only game that A&M won was 1-0, and Asa Lacy was absolutely unhittable. He
was going 96 miles an hour. Yeah,
he looked like Randy Johnson up there. Like I haven't seen swings like that in a while.
They are so extreme, A&M, as far as like pitching stat. Like as good as their pitching is how just useless and putrid they are offensively. Between you've got Shoemake and Zach DeLoach, and DeLoach is finally starting to turn it around. He actually had an amazing freshman year. He's a sophomore, and his numbers weren't good to start the season. But those two guys, just from a scouting standpoint, they're the only ones that really, you know, give you concern if you're the other team.
Yeah.
I mean, two guys.
Well, and they hit Shoemake leadoff now. So you don't have to worry about anybody. And they hit DeLoach second. So you don't have to worry about anybody. All right, maybe they hit him third, actually, now that I think about it. But you don't have to worry about anything as far as, like, middle of the order, especially deep in the order. No way.
Dude, they have – and like they have those two bats and then like a bunch of like 8-hole bats.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of them.
Yeah, a bunch of 8-hole, 8 and 9.
A bunch of them.
They're the only team in the nation that has a 9-hole hitting fourth and fifth form.
Dude, like if they could just hit a little bit, I would be all over them for the national championship.
Yeah, because the pitching staff is great.
And it's not just like those two starting pitchers. We're in Texas, so we get to see a lot of their midweek games on local television. I have yet to see an arm come out of the bullpen in a game that's within 5 runs that I don't like. All of them. They're all good.
Yeah, but
don't ask them to hit.
They don't have like a multi-million-dollar indoor cage, do they? Oh wait, they do. Whew. Wonder where they're. Why don't they hit? But anyways, so Mississippi State's at 5. That's your top 5: UCLA, Vandy, Arkansas, Stanford, Mississippi State. 6. We got a new team. We got Louisville. Louisville jumps into number 6, kind of leading the way in the ACC right now. I like them a lot. They were my national championship pick before the season started.
They look good.
Georgia Tech follows them closely at number 7. Georgia comes in at number 8. Georgia's been kind of, I mean, they've been playing good ball. They just haven't really been impressing me, I guess is the best way to put it.
The arm injury, too.
Yeah. Emerson Hancock needs to get healthy. But that's a team that, I don't know, definitely Omaha contention. Like those 8, I could see very well making it to Omaha. The next 8 are probably, I don't know. You can rank 9 through 16, actually really 9 through 14 any way you really want it. But with our rankings, we have Texas Tech 9. Oregon State falls all the way to 10 after getting swept by the Cowboys of Oklahoma State. East Carolina, the Pirates look really good. It was tempting to put them in the top 8 just because they've been winning ball games. Like they literally show up to the field every day and they win the game. And that is big in our rankings, is actually winning baseball games. Their pitching staff is really good. They have an offense that can compete with anybody. I'm not going to say definitely because they could struggle the last couple weeks, but they're in great position to host a regional.
Position to be a national seed.
Yeah, but what they're fighting for is that national seed, which really helps them move along. So after that, we have North Carolina at 12, UC Santa Barbara 13, Miami moves up to 14, Texas A&M 15, Arizona State 16. Those are your 16 regional hosts right now, in our opinion. But we're not saying that that's how the season's going to end. Oh, by the way, and we forgot to mention that Ole Miss would be in there if they weren't expelled from the rankings. So all the Ole Miss fans sending us very crude letters, very mean letters, saying that we're irrelevant because we don't have Ole Miss ranked. We're actually very relevant. Joke,
guys.
We actually didn't even start becoming relevant until we unranked them. I think it separates us because we're not afraid to punish a team that has been punishing us. So Ole Miss would be.
They're just ranking.
It's a joke. Yeah. If you really take our rankings that seriously, like, I don't know. I don't want to get into it.
It's fun water cooler talk. It's fun water cooler talk. It lets you know who's actually relevant around the country.
They should like that. They should like the target on their back. Like, instead of like sending us mean letters, just be like, hey, thanks for doing that. Like, we've been playing good ball since you unranked us and you expelled us. Like, you know, flip it around at one time.
Hey, man, people are sensitive today, though. People are sensitive.
They really are. They really, especially Ole Miss fans. Sensitive. Very sensitive. Another fan base that's been pretty sensitive to us, LSU. They're at 17. They really don't like how we don't have them as a regional host, even though we did last week. We've heard some words we've never heard before from them. So LSU 17, Baylor 18, Missouri 19, NC State 20, Auburn 21, Oklahoma State moves in at number 22, Michigan moves in at number 23 after leading the Big Ten. I think they're like 14-3 in conference.
We're going to look at it.
Yeah, we'll look at it in just a little bit. West Virginia falls to 24, almost out of the rankings after losing 2 out of 3 to a bad TCU team. And then Florida State moves back in after like an 8-week absence. The Cinnamon Rolls
are alive.
They have a heartbeat. And they are barely alive because they lost 10-0 to Pitt Friday night. But they saved themselves by destroying Pittsburgh on Saturday and Sunday. So we moved them back in just because they're playing good ball. They're sitting at like 14-10 in conference, which is good in the ACC. That's a team that could get hot at the right time. You never know.
Yeah, I'm not gonna bet on them we just know their recent history, and you know, yeah, they've never won a College World Series, and they've been in the dance for 40 years in a row. Statistically, that's just kind of, you know, odd.
They're due for one. That's
what they're due. All right, Ben. Well, I think we did this a couple weeks ago. We on the spot talked about 8 teams we liked for Omaha personally right now. I want to do that again. I can go first. Okay, obviously I'm going to roll with UCLA. I can't pick against Vanderbilt. Okay, so I'm going to take the top three in order. UCLA, Vandy, and Arkansas. I'm going to go off the reservation a little bit. I'll go with Louisville. That's 4. Texas Tech, 5. I'll go with Texas A&M. I think they'll have enough pitching to we actually saw some really good numbers that showed like how good does a team's pitching and offense and defense have to be to make it to Omaha, and can't really fight against it, and A&M's up there. So A&M, and I've got 2 more. I'm going to say Baylor, and I'm going to say LSU. I think LSU is going to be one
of those. They're playing good ball right now too.
I think they're one of those teams that just keeps climbing, and then
they
get that magic of Alex Box Stadium, and they have just as much talent as anyone, you know, in the top 10. That's what we talk about on the show.
So you're not going to put your preseason national championship pick into Omaha?
Oh, of course I missed him. I'm taking out. Did I say Baylor?
Yeah.
I'm taking out Baylor and going North Carolina. I had them penciled in already. I just didn't even name them.
You're right. All right. So I'm going to go with UCLA, Vandy, Arkansas, Mississippi State, Louisville, Texas Tech, East Carolina, and I'm going to stick with West Virginia. I think that they're going to find themselves in a good regional. They're going to find themselves against a pretty winnable super regional, and they're going to win every Friday night, in my opinion. So first game of every tournament, they're going to win. That really helps. So I don't know. I'll stick with West Virginia. They didn't play well this weekend, but maybe, glad they had a bad weekend now.
A little wake up call. Maybe all they need is a wake up call.
Right. So those are my 8, and I guess coming from a high note, moving into a low note, we have to move and transition into our weekend challenge, where you both went 1-4.
Ouch.
Not good. Not good. So,
but I think I can clinch this week.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's 2 weeks left, and my number is like 5. I've got a 5.5 game lead. So you know, if I go 5-0, it's over.
No, I think if you just win one more game than I do, if you gain a game in the standings, because that would put it at like 5.5, or if we go even.
Yeah.
Dang, that's tough.
Yeah. So you've got to do one game better than I do this week.
I don't like that. I don't like that pressure. This is not good. And this would have been the perfect week. Dang it. This would have been the perfect week for me to gain some ground. But
we are really officially scoreboard watching.
Yeah. So I picked Southern Miss to beat FAU. FAU wins the first two and then loses yesterday on a walk-off. So FAU looked like the better team over Southern Miss. So I lost that one. I also picked Texas A&M to beat Mississippi State. I did that as a part of a jinx ritual, where every time I pick Mississippi State to win a series, they lose, and every time I pick them to lose, they win. So I had a lot of Mississippi State fans chirping me, saying, please don't pick us, please don't pick us. So I didn't, and they won 2 out of 3. So Mississippi State wins that one. I picked Tennessee to beat Missouri. It looked good. Tennessee won game one and then just forgot to show up game two.
I would have picked Tennessee as well.
Yeah, so that's tough. The only one that I won was I picked Mercer to beat Samford, and they did. They won the first two games of that series, lost yesterday, but Mercer won 11 in a row, and they finally lost for the first time since I did not show up to a game. It was really tough. That's a big rivalry. Dude, there.
I know we're in the middle of our 10-weekend recap, but I feel like we're obligated to talk about the TARP scenario that unfolded. I mean, I feel like that's right up our alley. That is right up our alley.
So we got some good footage of it. That TARP, first of all, I've pulled it dozens of times, and it's no fun. And because the way that Mercer's baseball field sits is that the wind blows straight in from center field, and like on warm days, like straight from the coast, And there's also a highway that runs maybe a couple hundred yards behind center field. And so you also get some of the highway drift blowing in. And behind the stadium, there's like a like it's kind of sitting on a hill where there's like a giant like wind blockade. So it kind of swirls behind and like comes back. And so it just really, it like tornadoes itself. Like it's a natural tornado. And so what happens is whenever you pull the tarp, it starts swirling. And once it gets under, like if you don't keep it low and the wind gets under it, good luck. I've seen players literally elevate 8 feet off the ground getting pulled in the air from the start. And luckily they let go this time. And the moment you let go, it escapes. And I've seen that tarp leave the field before, like come out of the stadium before we had the big stadium behind it.
You've never told me about this before.
Oh yeah. No, it's ended up like almost across, like pretty much across the street. And just something about that tarp, it was finally got some publicity because that thing has been wrecking souls.
So what you're saying is you're not surprised now. At all.
And when I heard that thing ripped, off the like it ripped in half because of the wind, like nothing made me happier. It was like slaying the dragon. Like that is the only way to defeat that tarp. I'm glad it's going. I'm not going to go to the funeral for that tarp. Will not show up.
If you guys are listening and you haven't seen the video, haven't seen the footage, there's Mercer is pulling the tarp on the field for their series against Samford, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah.
Like Ben says,
it made Sports Center.
Yeah.
It made Sports Center. Like, it's crazy.
I was actually out at a bar yesterday, and I'm watching Florida Georgia, and they break to something, and they start showing the Mercer tarp scenario, and I tap my girlfriend on the shoulder. I'm like, look, that's Ben.
And so, the guy that recorded it was the ESPN3 color commentator. I mean, ESPN3 play-by-play guy I used to do last year, like when I was a color commentator for ESPN3. That was my partner, Frank Malloy. Oh, wow. So his video got like 950,000 views.
It's wild.
On Twitter. It's crazy.
Wild.
So yeah, that also happened to Mercer. But they won the series. They gained a game in the standings. I think they're sitting 3.5 back with... They have 3 conference games to play. Samford has 6. So they need Samford to get swept, I think, this weekend by somebody. But then UCLA, I picked Arizona State, and UCLA won 2 out of 3. I don't remember why I picked Arizona State.
Because we're sold that they have the best hitters in the country.
Yeah. It's kind of like a Washington Nationals mind trick. Like 3 years in a row, they go into the playoffs. Like as a 95-win team, they have the best offense. And then they just lose. Like I don't know. Like they just maybe not a good team.
Yeah.
But
Arizona State is set up to be the perfect dark horse though, because their strength of schedule is low and because they've been a little so-so, they're set up to be the perfect dark horse.
Yeah. And they were at home this weekend, which helped. I guess that's why I picked them. But luckily for me, you also went 1-4 this week. James
laid an egg.
Yeah, you picked Indiana to beat Illinois.
Dude, shout out to the Illinois baseball Twitter account. Mm-hmm. They found our challenge, and they played, but they only circled their matchup.
They actually won the challenge. They went 1-0. They didn't lose.
1,000%. They're 1,000%.
Yeah.
So I lost that matchup. I picked Iowa over UC Irvine. I was very excited for that series, and Iowa did me justice in the only series I won. Mm-hmm. I took losses in an LSU and Ole Miss matchup with Ole Miss coming on top in a crazy Sunday game. Like
18 to 15.
Yeah, totally wild, man.
Crazy. Like,
gotta love those Sunday matchups. And you know, we talk so much about how Sunday is weird, and you know, it's hard to really tell how good the teams are because like pitching and all that. But that's the type of scenario you're going to see in a regional if you come out of a loser's bracket.
Right.
It really kind of tells you a lot. Those games kind of tell you a lot, despite the odd scores. UCF takes Tulane. I was very surprised about that. And Arizona sweeps Oregon. So
That one came as a surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoops, I mean, scored 28 yesterday. 28 runs for Arizona, one game.
Wild.
Yeah, so that was very interesting to me. But we get to play again next week. Our winner from this week was Phil Brannaman. He went 7-3. He's a high school kid and plays baseball. And he messaged us back and said, I have no idea how I won this week. I didn't put any thought into it. So that's nice. Maybe that's our new strategy. Just don't put thought into it. Maybe I'll start winning some games. So Phil Brannaman will get to pick next week's one series out of next week. Our two-time reigning champ, Kyle McElvey. He actually went 2-8, so it made me a little happy just not hear his name again. But I'm just kidding. He's really good at what he does. He's definitely picked more games right this year than I have. but moving on, some key takeaways from this weekend. Texas baseball, not back. Texas bad. Texas real bad. Texas not going to make Big 12 tournament bad. Like, there's only top, like, so listen to this, James. So Big 12, you have that in your mind, right?
Yeah.
Oh, like Big 12, they only take the top 8. Okay, cool. Bottom 4 don't make it. Actually, no. Big 12 only has 9 teams. So think Big 9, top 8 make tournament. Texas is a 9th by 2 games. Texas gets swept by Kansas. They will not, like, they are not looking good for a Big 12 tournament appearance.
Oh, my God.
Which is just the most embarrassing thing in Texas sports going on right now. I can't believe that. Like, I think if you put just some random Conference USA team in the Big 12, they don't find themselves in last place. That's what I'm saying. Like, you throw Louisiana Tech in the Big 12, I think they come in like 7th or 8th.
No,
swept by Kansas, losing 2 out of 3 to Kansas State, getting swept by Oregon State. I mean, Oklahoma State. That's not good. Not good for the Longhorns.
We weren't sure what to make of the Longhorns early in the year. If it wasn't for the Longhorns' 3-game sweep against LSU the third week of the year, they would be their RPI is sitting at 60. I mean, the way things are rolling, like they're not gonna, you know, if you don't get in your conference tournament, you're not gonna make the whole thing.
Oh yeah, no shot. Yeah. You can't. But, no way you can do that.
But even if they do, I mean,
they have to win like 3 games in their conference tournament just to have a chance to be on the bubble, in my opinion.
I mean, and I just want to run through like their schedule a little bit. A 3-game sweep against LSU, by far their saving grace. They lost 3 out of 4 at Stanford, and they've taken 2 out of 3 from Texas Tech early in the year. So those are kind of their notable wins, but 25-25, they're 6-14. In Big 12 play.
That's bad.
Played 20 games, won 6 of them.
If you put Texas State in the Big 12, they're not 6-14.
Nah, definitely.
Not even close. That's bad. That's real bad. So that's one of my takeaways, is Texas is most likely going to miss the Big 12 tournament. But I can just see it now. They sneak in, like, last game of the year. They win, and then they become an 8 seed, and they beat Baylor first game, 8-1 matchup.
Oh, I can just see that.
And then they just find themselves in a championship having to get beat twice. Texas will probably – and the worst thing is, if they win the Big 12 tournament as an 8 seed, they'll probably find a way to host. I don't know how, but they'll host a regional, because they're the same with Florida State. It just always seems to happen. It makes me so mad. Another key takeaway I had, Oregon State gets swept. I mean, how can this not be a key takeaway? Oregon State gets swept by Oklahoma State.
At home.
At home. In April. This isn't February where you're, like, trying to figure everything out. Oh, it's May. Oh, wow, it's May. You're right. It is May, and you can't win one at home. So I don't know if this is – I'm going to ask you, does this tell you more about Oklahoma State, or does this tell you more about Oregon State?
I'm glad you asked that question, because I was thinking it. It definitely tells us more about Oregon State, 100%.
Yeah.
It tells you that they are no longer a lock to make it to Omaha, no longer – I don't want to say no longer. I don't want to overreact, but it lets you know that they're not in the same tier as UCLA, as Vandy, as Arkansas, and Mississippi State, Stanford. I mean, they definitely need to right the ship. They definitely do.
I can also see it where this series is a wake-up call for them, and maybe they start playing really good baseball, and they get hot and may carry it on to June. But maybe it does. Maybe it exposes them. Maybe it says Big 12 is better than what people are thinking, and the Pac 12 isn't as good as what people are thinking.
Do you think they overlooked this series? Like, oh, we're Oregon State, like a non-conference weekend at home. You know, a Big 12 team that's not
I have a crazy, hot take on this.
Okay.
I think maybe they thought it was an inter-squad. Maybe they thought the orange and black OSU on the jersey was like, oh, we're just playing against ourselves. Let's get our reps in. I haven't seen, like, is this the new squad for next year? Like, I don't know who these guys are, but
maybe an alumni game.
They're wearing Oregon State stuff, so maybe it's just an inter squad. That's the only explanation I have. I don't think you can overlook Oklahoma State, especially, I think Oklahoma State swept Texas 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. So, dude, Oklahoma State might have some of the most underrated bats in the nation.
I think they're the best offense in the Big 12, personally.
They've had a reputation the last couple of years of having some just heavy freaking sluggers. Maybe we'll dive into them on Wednesday.
I want to see a Texas Tech versus Oklahoma State Big 12 championship game with no team have any pitching left.
Oh, give me all of that.
Like, there's going to be some touchdowns and 2-point conversions for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So those were my two takeaways, both of them having to do with the Big 12, a little bit having to do with the Pac-12. The only thing that's kind of weird is Oklahoma State isn't – I think they're, in third place right now in the Big 12. Like, those three games they just swept – they just swept Oregon State. Didn't really count for conference play. Actually, didn't count at all. So, just a little different. But now that we're talking about conference play, James, we're gonna do three conference standings each. I'll let you start. Which three do you want to do? I think I'm gonna do the ACC, Pac-12, and Missouri Valley.
All right, that's fine. I definitely want to take the Big 12, the Big 10, and the SEC. I'm so intrigued by the Big 10. Ever since we really bashed them earlier in the year, I low-key like the top teams. Like, I really do. I really do.
Yeah, there's not a lot to hate about it.
No, definitely not. Well, I guess I'll go ahead and start with the Big 12.
Go for it, man.
All right. So we've got – oh, my goodness. I have the wrong season. Ben, you'll have to start.
All right. You know, I'm going to go ahead and start, and I'm going to take the ACC – the biggest conference out there. Not a lot of national championships coming from this conference, but they're always in Omaha. My national championship pick, though, is Louisville, and they're sitting at first place, 18-6. They're in the Atlantic region. Behind them is Florida State, who just snuck into the top 25. NC State, who's 14-10. They're in third place. And then you have Clemson, Wake Forest, and Notre Dame, all with 12 wins, and Boston College down in last with 9 wins. But in the Coastal Division, a little bit more competitive, we have four teams within 2 games of each other. So you have North Carolina, Georgia Tech, Miami, and Duke in that order. Georgia Tech and North Carolina are actually tied for first place right now. I don't know how they do the seedings for the conference tournament, but I do know that winning your division helps you a lot. So I think it's something like the top the winner of each division gets a bye. And then, I don't know. We'll see. I should probably look into this. I should know this.
We're going to look into it.
Yeah. But Virginia Tech, and Pitt all having down years this year. I think the ACC is wide open. If you take out Wake Forest, Notre Dame, Boston College, and then Virginia Tech, and Pitt, any of the 8 teams left, those could win it.
Dude, you talk about Louisville and – they're sitting in first place, and I took the liberty of looking up, who do they play last 2 weeks? They go to at UVA. Yeah. So not going to be easy anytime you go on the road against a respectable team. Expect them to win the series. But then they finish up with Florida State at home. That is going to be – it's going to have huge implications.
Florida State has to win that series.
Yeah. Dude, but so we're staying on Louisville – major cojones from Louisville. I'm looking on their schedule right now, and their SID has listed the dates of the regional, the super regional, and the College World Series games on their schedule with the to be decided.
Wow. I love that.
That is awesome. That is so cool. Like, yeah, we're going to be there. Just we'll tell you when our
opponent. We don't know who our opponent is yet. We don't know what time we're going to play, but we'll be there.
Teams in the country do you think list that? Not many.
Not many. I don't even know if I've seen that before.
It's so funny. I love it. I mean, it's obviously not intended to be like that, but it kind of is. But it kind of is. Like, hey, I can tell you, the Longwood Lancers don't have that listed. I can tell you that. There's a reason for that. So.
That's so funny.
But okay, I'll go ahead and roll into the Big 12 standings unless you wanted to finish up.
ACC is done. You go into the Big 12.
All right. Okay. Big 12 baseball standings. Come here. Found you. All right, so we got Baylor at the top, 14-6. Texas Tech is one game in the loss column behind at 14-7. Do the math there, however that shakes up. Oklahoma State, 10-8. West Virginia, 11-10. And then you have a three-way tie between Oklahoma. These are three teams. To have these teams be in a three-way tie is weird. Oklahoma, TCU, and Kansas are all 8-10.
Oh. Ew. Ew.
We can't say it enough.
I mean, we've been hyping up Oklahoma a little bit this year, but like, are they really that good?
They're 38. I mean, they are a. I can't picture them not being a 2 seed.
They could slide to a 3 seed if they don't finish strong. They could even not even make the tournament if they start sucking. But
dude, speaking of, I meant to talk about this earlier, but I'm listening and watching the Georgia Florida game, and it's obviously getting to the end of the year, and some of the analysts are breaking down possible tournament teams, and these guys are saying that they're talking about how difficult it's going to be for an SEC team to make the tournament if they're not 500 in league play. I'm like, what? Like, they're like, oh, their record's creeping close towards 500. I don't think they'll get in. Like, they're specifically talking about Tennessee, like, and a couple other teams. Like, they're and like, I don't know, man. If you have to be 500 in that league to get in, I mean, let me just put it this way: multiple outlets have 10 or 11 teams in the SEC making the tournament. Do the math. They can't all be. that's just not how it works.
Right.
But the thing that was intriguing to me about this was that the analysts were saying that the selection committee has stated how important your conference record is now. So if you can just
kiss Texas out then, right?
Yeah. If that's true, like if you finish 4 games under in the SEC and you might not get in, that's wild. That's you know, because you can still be 30th in the country, like world's going to get in. So it's something to monitor is what I'm saying.
Wow, okay. That's news to me. I like it though. I'm not going to disagree.
Yeah, I guess not. I mean, we don't that, this is a time where we don't make the rules.
Yeah, they make the rules. We follow the rules.
We don't make those rules. I'm going to roll into the Big Ten if that's where I were you.
Go for it.
All right, so Michigan is sitting at the top at 14-3. Indiana 12-6, and then it's just madness. Just total honestly, it's madness.
I'm looking at it right now.
I think Michigan had a bye week already or something.
Yeah, they did.
This whole conference is just totally nuts. Indiana 12-6, Iowa 11-7, who's tied with Minnesota at 11-7. Nebraska has lost 3 in a row, 12-8, Illinois 10-8. And then you've got a couple teams at 8-9 in Northwestern and Rutgers, with Maryland at 8-10. And then bringing up the rear in order, Purdue, Ohio State, Michigan State, Penn State. You don't want to be a state school in the Big Ten, apparently.
No.
Big Ten that has 15 teams.
The Big Ten that has 15 and the Big 12 that has 9.
Yeah, weird. Go for it.
Just interesting. The biggest takeaway I have for the Big Ten is anybody below Illinois has 0 shot, but everybody Illinois and up has a legitimate shot to win that conference.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
100%.
But the Big Ten is a lot better than people are thinking. They're actually they're very top heavy, I guess, but the top teams can all hang with anybody. I mean, we saw it with Iowa this week taking down number 25 UC Irvine. Like they play a different style of baseball. I guess you can say they play more of a West Coast style than anything. But those guys can play. They get the best recruits in the North, and that's always something to be proud of. So
yeah.
All right, James, I'm going to go over the Pac-12 standings just real quick. I think it's very similar to the Big Ten, where it's very top-heavy, where you have 5 teams, I think, that could compete for a conference tournament championship, and the rest, not even close.
Yeah.
So you have Stanford and Oregon State tied in first, with UCLA 1 game back.
It's funny, UCLA's been 1 game back multiple weeks in a row. And
yeah. Well, so Oregon State just got swept, but it didn't hurt their conference standings. So they're 17-4, but they just got swept by Oklahoma State. So that's where the little wrench gets thrown in. Stanford's been beating everybody this year. They're 34-8. UCLA's 37-8. They're 1 game back, sitting in third place. And then Cal and Arizona State, both teams that very good offenses, pitching not so much, but offense wins those games deep in tournaments where the final scores are 12-8, 15-10. So those are two teams that I think are sleepers to win the Pac-12 tournament. They won't win the regular season, but just two teams to keep your eye out for. And then you have Washington, USC, Arizona, the next three, and then our bottom three is Oregon, Utah. I didn't even know Utah had a baseball team. And I sure as hell have never heard anything about Washington State baseball, who's sitting at 218-1 in conference play.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh.
9-33 on the year.
Oh.
Yeah. So maybe we should go take over the Washington State program, James. Can't do much worse. Yeah. And we'll do it for like half the cost.
If you would, hey, maybe we've been trying to talk to these athletic directors. If you're listening, half the cost. You heard it here first.
Half the, and we'll do it for a third of the cost. So okay. That's the Pac-12.
Ben will do it for a third of the cost.
Yeah.
I don't know, Ben. Living out in Washington seems kind of miserable.
Right. So do you want to do your what do you have?
SEC.
Hey, let's end with the SEC because I want to do the Missouri Valley real quick.
Okay.
Missouri Valley is really fun because you have teams like Missouri State, who just played Dallas Baptist, who Dallas Baptist was the clear favorite, but Dallas Baptist lost 2 out of 3 to Missouri State, including both ends of a doubleheader.
Just so, when you think you know baseball.
Yeah. So Indiana State is actually leading that conference at 11-4. Illinois State is a surprise team this year. They're at 10-5 in conference. They just lost 2 out of 3 to Indiana State. Dallas Baptist is in third place right now, 2 games back at 9-6. Along with Bradley. So the Bradley Braves are 2 games back at 9-6. And then Evansville is also 8-7, kind of a surprise team on the year, really high RPI. But the overall record, 21-22, is just not going to cut it for an NCAA tournament bid. Missouri State, very down year after their top two arms get hurt. They're in third to last place, just in front of Southern Illinois and Valparaiso. So Missouri Valley was going to be probably a 3-team bid this year. I think Dallas Baptist gets in no problem. Illinois State looks like they're destined for at least an at-large. And then Indiana State, I think, wins the tournament and possibly a 2-seed somewhere like Vanderbilt or...
I want to see a bunch of stolen bids happen. I want
to
see...
Oh, me too. Me too.
I just want to see stolen bid after stolen bid.
Right. All right, James, hit us with the SEC real quick.
Okay, I'll start with the SEC West. And Ben, I want you to keep... So, judging off this whole conference 500 record and how important that is, so just keep an eye out for that as I go through these teams' records. So Arkansas leading the SEC West 17-7, Mississippi State 2 games back 15-9, tied with Ole Miss 15-9. I believe they play each other this week.
Egg Bowl.
I don't know where it is. I think it's at Ole Miss, actually. I'm not sure. 50-50 chance. I'll look it up.
I'll look it up now while you keep doing the rest.
Okay. LSU 14-10, Texas A&M 12-11-1. They had a tie with Missouri early in the year. Auburn 12-12, and then Alabama way bringing up the rear at 6-18. I actually watched some Auburn Alabama action.
I did too. Did you watch the extra innings game?
Yep, they found a way to lose.
Yeah,
just found. I mean, it's.
I'm not sold on Auburn. Not sold on them yet. They have good bats. Yeah. Closer, their closer blew it. One of the games. I mean, they won the series, but Alabama's a bad team. Those are the games that you have to sweep to be competitive in the SEC. Because, I mean, think about it. They're second to last place in the West, 500 record. And that just puts a lot of pressure on them with these last 2 weekends. They're not a lock to get in the tournament. They're going to have to win at least one of the next 2 weekends and then win a couple games in the tournament, the SEC tournament. So they're just putting a lot of pressure on themselves, not winning games at Alabama, actually at home against Alabama. That's the kind of thing that separates, you know, is the league an 11-team bid or a 10-team bid?
No, that's great insight. Moving into the SEC East, I'm going to start from the bottom.
Okay.
South Carolina, 5-19 in conference play.
Kentucky, so bad. So bad.
Kentucky, 6-18 in conference play.
So bad.
Florida, 9-15 in conference play. So if this whole 500 deal is so big, Florida would have to go 6-0 the last 2 weeks, sweep 2 weekends in a row, and then, you know, not go 0-2 in the conference tournament.
Yeah. They have left. They have Tennessee and Missouri. But they just got swept by Georgia. You gotta take one against Georgia. Georgia's not great right now. They're hurt.
They're fallible. They're beatable.
Yeah, especially with the Gators lineup, it just blows my mind how Florida is 9-15 in that conference. I know it's the best conference in the league, but I mean in the nation. But
it's the best conference in the league, huh? Hey, I feel like no matter what we do, we're always gonna have our 2 a.m. moments. You know,
right.
Like, okay, we've talked about. Why, like, we kind of like I don't want to say hate on, but give a lot of criticism to these big school teams. And here's a reason why. Florida, it's May. It's May 6th as we're recording this podcast. Florida has played 15 road games. They're 3-12. But they're...
I didn't know that. 3-12?
I mean, very few of these teams play a lot of road games. You're a big school. You pay everyone to come visit you, yada, yada, yada. I mean, Vanderbilt, they've only played 13 games on the road. Georgia's played a lot of games on the road. Tennessee, same thing. So it's just very frustrating to see, like, they have all these big schools have so many things going for them. Like, you get big recruits, play games at home, you know, host your own regional, but a team like Florida, like, you can't handle a little bit of adversity. Won 3 games on the road all year.
Golly, man. So they just don't know what it feels like to go to a hotel with a couple wins under their belt.
They actually don't know what it feels like to have more than a couple of wins at a hotel all year. You know,
You know? I'm fine with keeping Florida out of the tournament.
Yeah.
Keep them out.
Yeah. Tennessee, 1 game ahead of Florida, though, at 10-14. Missouri, 12-11-1. Definitely the surprise team. Here's a little perspective on this whole home road thing. Missouri, 24 games at home, and they've played 21 games on the road. But they're 21-3 at home.
Which they should be.
And then they're playing 500 ball on the road.
That'll do it. That'll do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's really good. That's unbelievable. And, you know, teams like Florida can't even play 500 ball on the road with 12 games. You know?
Yeah, such a joke.
Yeah. Then you've got Georgia. Georgia and Vanderbilt way ahead of everybody. Georgia 16-8, and Vanderbilt is 18-6. So that's a breakdown of your SEC. Yeah.
Vanderbilt has the longest win streak in the nation right now with 11 games. They're just crushing teams, not even keeping it close. J.J. Blidé looks like King Griffey Jr. out there. It's Vanderbilt, I think right now, if I had to bet on a team to win it all, it's them. They have the pitching, they have the defense, they have the hitting, they have the coaching to win it all. But we'll see. You know, you don't know what kind of injuries are going to happen, who's actually going to show up in the big moments, because they really haven't had a big spotlight moment yet. Like, I know they played at Georgia, but that crowd is nothing. It's I don't know. We'll see. Kumar Rocker is the best Sunday guy in the league, though. He's a freshman, 6'5", throws gas. If he's your number 3 starter, he was a first rounder last year. Like, he got calls in the first round, decided to go to college. So that's something else to keep in account, is when everybody else's pitching staffs are slightly tired or have already been used, he's rolling out there game 3, ready to go. So, all right, James, last thing we got to do for the show is talk about some midweek action. We have more games on Tuesday than Wednesday that we need to highlight.
Yep.
0 games today, though. Today is Monday, which is...
Mondays are for the off days.
Mondays are for the off days, so I hope all you players out there are enjoying your off days, getting ready for some crunch time gameplay with this last month of the season. But
Tuesday, for school.
Yep. Yep. So I'm gonna start off with some Tuesday midweek action that has my interest.
Yeah.
Florida International travels to Texas Tech and
play doubleheader.
Yeah, they do. And that's kind of just an interesting, I guess kids are out of school, they can fly now, and maybe Florida International play. I'm actually gonna see who they play. I bet it's like UTSA or somebody in Conference USA that they're just gonna make that quick drive over to. Let's see. Florida International is playing at Middle Tennessee. I don't understand that at all.
Nope. We thought there were some logistical reasons. There are no logistical reasons.
Yeah, this is college baseball. Where you go from home, which is South Florida, to friggin' Lubbock, Texas for 2 games, and then you fly to Middle Tennessee, which is in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Not even close. Like, that is just the weirdest scheduling I've ever seen. But whatever. Kids are out of school. You can do whatever you want. Your Campbell Camels play at NC State on Tuesday, which is another chance for them to upset an ACC school this year.
Yep.
Let's see. I mean, this would be a good matchup. I just wanted to highlight this. Long Beach State plays at UCLA. This would be a good matchup like 3 years ago, but Long Beach State is poo-poo this year. Not very good.
We've been there.
Yeah, we have.
They've actually played a lot better since Buckley was let go.
Right. Yeah, it looks like the kids are playing for the new coach pretty hard. This is an upset pick that I have for this week. I'm picking Louisiana Tech to upset LSU on Tuesday. Ooh. LSU has not looked good in midweek games all year. That is a very vulnerable game for them, and Louisiana Tech is very solid this year. I think Louisiana Tech's only playing road games the rest of the year as well, so this is a fun road game for them. The biggest matchup, though, and the last one I'm going to have for Tuesday is Vanderbilt and Louisville. I cannot wait.
Give
to turn
me
on
all.
ESPNU, 7 p.m., Tuesday night.
Be there.
You guys tune in, because Vanderbilt and Louisville are going to play probably the most competitive Tuesday midweek you're going to see all year. These guys are not going to throw their 6 and 7 starters. Like, these guys are probably going to throw their best bullpen guys all game, trying to win this game. Because if you win this game, your RPI gets boosted tremendously.
Oh,
and it helps you, you know, solidify
you
a national
seed. Better regional. Yeah, you can get in a better regional. Yeah. You can be in a position where you're facing the worst 2 seed, the worst 3 seed, and you get to play, you know, Coppin State, who's they're our worst 4 seed. You know, that's why I have them off the top of my head.
Right. So this game has big implications. That's why I wanted to close it out on Tuesday with that. I will be tuning in. Maybe we can do like an Instagram Live or something, James, and have our fans. Have our fans talk some baseball with us while we watch the game. Get our reactions. We'll have something like that.
I love it.
All right. So James, you got Wednesdays, or you want me to do it real fast?
I thought those were all the good games on it. I mean, we're going to talk about.
So Wednesday actually has some decent ones. We have ECU and North Carolina Wednesday at 6. Ooh. That's a fun matchup. Another one that I really like is UCF Miami. We'll really get to see what kind of team Miami is, and even what kind of team UCF is. UCF's kind of been up and down all year. They just won two. Did they sweep Tulane? Or they won 2 out of 3 this past weekend against Tulane. One of those two.
There's only a million baseball games we keep up with.
Oh, I know. Exactly. West Virginia plays Virginia Tech. And the last game that I wanted to highlight is I actually just lost it. It was a fun one, though. It was one that you were going to enjoy. I can't find it on Wednesday.
SEC team, an ACC team.
No. Well, maybe I just lost it.
Hold maybe on. It doesn't exist.
My phone, my computer's not loading right now. Maybe it doesn't exist. I know it was. It was who's Florida State play? Stetson. Florida State plays at Stetson. That's what it was.
I'll definitely check that one out.
Yeah, no, so that's a fun game. Stetson, I think, made it to a super regional last year. They're having a down year this year, but Florida State has to win this game to
lose it.
If they lose this game like that, and that's just not good for the resume going into the tournament. This could actually play a big, big resume builder for them. So that was the last game I want to watch on Wednesday. I don't know if I'm actually going to watch it or if I'll just keep up with the scores, but those are some midweek actions for you guys. We will be back in action, though, Wednesday ourselves. Wednesday night, we will have a podcast.
Back to the night game.
We had our fun with our day game. Hopefully you guys enjoyed this episode. We will be back Wednesday night, like I said, with a lot of cool things, including a new top 10 weekend series challenge. And we'll preview
mid-major rankings.
Yeah, mid-major rankings are released on Wednesdays. And we will also release our Field of 64, that episode with the graphic showing up on Thursday. So a lot of fun things to look forward to this week. We are down to crunch time. Only 2 weeks left in the regular season.
Get your popcorn ready, y'all.
Yeah, get your popcorn ready. So thank you guys for listening. We will be back Wednesday night. You guys enjoy your Mondays. Sorry for the day game. Or you're welcome for the day game. Whichever way you put it.